Looking forward to sharing one more segment just about some very specific plans that some congregations have put in place. So I know as I was sharing strategies, I would go back between congregations and schools because that has been my life, and always trying to choose those best practices to bring over to the church side. But I really want to focus now on some of these plans about specific individuals that have been part of a congregation. I will tell you, while there's support needed sometimes for an individual, sometimes there's a family that's also part of the deal. And so there was a child with an intellectual disability, actually was included quite well through universal design. Young child, they sort of staffed extra people in rooms, and they had some tools already available that worked well with this child. But this child had put a significant strain on and the care of this child had put a significant strain on mom and dad. So much so that the congregation found out that they weren't sure that mom and dad were going to, that this marriage was going to make it. Mom and dad were exhausted. The child required a lot of trips to therapy. They had no time left for themselves. This was not an only child. There were other children in the family. And this family was exhausted. And it's also sometimes hard for a family to receive that place of saying, we need help. To make that statement sometimes takes a lot of courage. And again, depending on culture, there are a whole lot of factors with that, aren't there, that we discussed. But I think at this point, the pastor had a significant enough relationship with this family that he called them in. And they knew that their child did well at church. They just really wanted to support this family as a whole. So what ended up happening is the pastor had a talk with them and said, look, we would like to designate four families that you would get to know, that would get to know your children, and we want to come over one night a week, or you pick a time on Saturday or Sunday, whatever. We want to provide a date night for you two. And the couple said, no, we don't need that. You know, it's not what, no, it's not important. We're surviving. And the pastor said, stop. Stop. You need to let the church be the church. And this pastor was pretty pushy and said, I don't, at this point, I love you guys. We're going to show up. If you make us, we don't care if you stay in your car in the driveway, we're coming after you, you know, train us with your children and what you prefer. And of course, because they were coming to the child's home, the parents had to know these people, and they were screened and all of those important safety things as well. But we're going to come, and you don't have to go away. You can just sit in your car, but we're coming. And sure enough, this pastor was forceful enough because they knew that this couple needed some time together. They just did. And it was a beautiful thing. You know, as a sibling had a choir concert, they had four sets of names that could say, hey, you know, are you free? Or as the team of four heard about the choir concert, they said, let me come and sit with Devin so that you can go to Sabrina's choir concert at school. But they became this larger family that could come alongside. And it was funny because it's really true. The first night the people showed up, that's exactly what the couple did. They were so like, we don't know if we should leave, what's going to happen. They literally backed the car into the driveway and stayed there for 2 hours. But they had 2 hours in the car together to talk and probably worry. After that, it didn't happen anymore. They just got in their car and off they went for their 2 hours of time together. But that church really saw, look, sometimes we need to have a plan for the individual, and they had already done that. They had good things in place for children with intellectual disabilities just as part of universal design. This child didn't have a personalized plan when this child went to church, but they had the personalized plan actually around the family, because that mom and dad absolutely needed to have some people power to come in so that they could breathe, that they could plan as a couple, that they could delight in each other. It wasn't all focused on just keeping the lid on this boiling pot at home, as it seemed to them. So, again, a little pushy, perhaps, and might not take that tack in some communities, but this pastor felt comfortable in making that statement, let the church be the church, and what a gift. And really, isn't that true? As the couple became more engaged, they were wonderful singers. So they joined the choir, and there were enough people then that knew Devin and could step in so that they could practice their gifts with Devin, and the mom and dad could use their gifts as part of the choir and leading and singing. So another story of how we take puzzle pieces and put them together to make this master jigsaw that's beautiful. So that's a story of a young one. And again, I'll just be fair, there are many times when a congregation does put together a responsive design plan for a child. And it might involve many of the things that I've already talked about for the child. It might involve, having some alternate curriculum, having a certain set of materials in the room. And so it's part of a personalized plan, not just part of what the church already does. Might have taught a lesson to the peers so that they better understand why their friend can get up at a certain point during their Bible story time and they're not allowed to do that. So we sometimes have to prep peers in that setting as well. So those are some of the things. You may be in a church where buddies are already there, or those Insta buddies like I talked about, or maybe that's something that you want to look into to see if that would be a set of people you could raise up that could just join together with that individual and be part of a particular setting. So just in fairness, I wanted to note sometimes we do need plans for children in the church environment. This church just didn't happen to need that. It was the parents who needed support. All right, and then I wanted to talk about this age, young adult with an intellectual disability. I'll tell you a common pattern. I already told the story a few weeks back about Jonathan, about how his mom wanted him to have people who knew it was his birthday. Excuse me just a minute. And how they arranged sort of that social circle for Jonathan. But I wanted to point out a big issue that can happen, especially in that young adult time in certain cultures and communities. I know where I am living, there's a big thing that happens after this thing called high school. Kids leave and they go to college. Often that doesn't happen with persons with intellectual disabilities. That person stays. And so while there may have been significant bonding with peers, programming, people who were together, many times that individual is still here and oftentimes isolated because others have moved on to that college experience or moved away and then they got married. And again, it's just a very challenging time for some individuals. And so I've had the joy of learning from some communities right now is how do we think about that time? How do we create a better bridge into that community as a whole? Because there are so many issues that can surround that young adult time. So I did tell one story. There's another church that I'm aware of that creates a position that's basically one of hospitality. And they train people to come alongside. So this is buddies for young adults. But it doesn't just apply to persons with an intellectual disability. It could be for a person who's a visitor to the church, new to the church, an introvert, a person who just doesn't want to go. They raise up a group of people that form relationship and then go with them into that environment. And this has worked incredibly well for some persons with intellectual disability, partly because we need, again, to find ways to form relationships and those places of belonging within that adult population. So I think that that has been powerful. Another project with young adults and adults has been launched by Dr. Eric Carter and Dr. Bill Gaventa. It's called Putting Faith to Work. And many times after the school season, again, we have some individuals that are looking for a place of employment, and they would contend that church has some wonderful connections to maybe find that place. And so there's a process, and if you go to the Vanderbilt Faith and theology or faith and church community on the Vanderbilt site. If you Google Dr. Eric Carter, you'll find this thing called Putting Faith to Work. And so if that's something that your congregation might be interested in looking at, there's a very wonderful scripted opportunity. And again, it's finding employment, but even more than that, it's using relationships within the church to be able to really get to know this person and then to say, okay, this person really enjoys vacuuming. I happen to know somebody, a friend who owns a hotel. How can we figure this out, right? There's a lot of carpet in that hotel. So it's taking that particular age, that stage of life, and saying, look, we can put some interesting options together. So putting faith to work, finding ways to build that bridge, maybe, again, building relationships anew as an adult within that congregation as opposed to a child and youth. One thing I do want to point out, we have had many congregations come to us and say, well, yeah, but that person really, I know he's a fifth grader, but he's learning at a four-year-old level. Don't you think that we could have that child just stay in preschool? No. First of all, imagine a parent dropping off a four-year-old and you've got a person in there who's much larger. If you have a teen and this person has an intellectual disability who's gifted and caring for preschoolers, absolutely, that person could join as a worker or somebody in that environment. But we do recommend keeping a person with their age mates and adapting within that setting as opposed to stalling out and always being part of that one setting. Again, it doesn't allow for those bonds to form. And also just doesn't seem very appropriate for others dropping off their four-year-olds in that setting. Finally, just wanted to make one comment. Some of us are neighbors to group homes or adult foster care homes, places where you might have persons with intellectual disabilities being together in one place. I'm aware of a church that has a connection with men who live in an adult foster care home close to their place. The individuals come. They're very much part of Bible studies. They go to worship in that space. They don't all sit in one row. They are part of connections with different people in the congregation. This is just individuals who happen to have intellectual disabilities living together, but they are dispersed throughout the community so that they can get to know one another. They don't all pick the same Bible study. They might choose different ones. One serves as a greeter because he has that gift. Another often would take offering because he has that gift. So they're figuring out this is not a group of people. These are a set of individuals who are part of our community. One of the interesting things, too, and one of the gifts I believe a congregation can provide, is at one point the members of the congregation were a little bit concerned at the clothing that the people were wearing and had heard things. They were just so glad to be by snacks and food, and they were eating that up. And so that allowed people of the church to go to their home and ask some questions, you know, if they needed new clothes, is there money for that, and found out that there were some things happening there that I would consider, you know, towards that neglect piece that can happen. And so, again, the gift that a congregation can give sometimes is holding places accountable for how they portion out money, who's allowed in that place. But this church became very active in supporting the care for these individuals and calling that team of people that ran that home to task. The gift of having people who can advocate for, come alongside of, and say, look, we don't want them to come to church hungry. We're glad to have food along with everybody else, but these men need a significant breakfast and lunch and dinner and snacks and, you know, whatever. So they were able to support that place. So again, you can find some wonderful spots. You can also find some places where you go, yeah, as a church, we want to step in. We want to promote good caregivers and people who are part of this environment. So never know how churches get involved. But my suggestion is look around your area. Many times there are adults in homes who no longer have family that are part of their lives. They have the caregivers that are part of those living places, but they may not have relationships outside of that. So could you find out? Do you have a group home or an adult foster care home in your area? Is there something that you could do to adopt that home? Could you collect children's ministry offering to supply some gifts on people's birthdays? Could you do a Christmas celebration together? What could you do together with that community, even if the members don't choose to all come to your church? Is there a way that you could build community with that place? I know there are so many opportunities for that and some really creative ideas to try. So just a reminder that sometimes it's good to be involved in that level. So I would just also want to highlight for you a curriculum and an organization that has done a lot to support adults with intellectual disabilities and supplying meaningful Bible curriculum for that particular individual or group meetings. It's called Friendship Ministries, but the great new tool that they have put out, which I totally love, please check out togethersmallgroups.org, because what you will find is that these Bible studies can be used for perhaps a typical friendship group, which would be buddied up. There would be perhaps half the people who have intellectual disabilities, half the group as a buddy part of that program. But that is one way to use it. The other way is that there's two tracks. The other track is to use that material within the context of your church community and say, you know what, these materials are built with universal design in mind. We can use this for all our adult small groups, and it will make it easier for us to invite Ryan to just be part of our group. So it's set up to include people of all abilities, including those who have IQs of 142, paired up with a person who may have an IQ of 42, to be part of that living group together with adults. So again, another great tool. We showed a short clip that's, they have a lot of free resources. Remember that sensory processing clip. But this curriculum itself is pretty powerful. So check out the samples they have online. See if that might be something you could try in your church and just do a unit. There's some wonderful units available, and I have enjoyed helping to author and edit some of those materials, but would love for you to explore this tool because it is set up to be a Bible study material thinking for people of all abilities in a variety of settings. So enjoy the week. I hope that you have had a chance to, again, look into some of the assignments that we've given and have had a chance to try some of these ideas in your community. Looking forward to hearing from you again as you put together this week of thinking about persons with intellectual disabilities. So next week we'll be, thinking about very specifically a particular group, and look forward to learning strategies that you can try. Have a great week.